Have you ever wondered why there are so many churches in the world today? Well, it's an important topic that we all need to understand. In order to truly grasp the reason why, requires a combined study of the Bible and secular history. So in this lesson, we're going to start by briefly looking at the first 1700 years of church history. And then we'll look at what is called Restoration history, followed by a third lesson of modern church history. When it comes to the history of the Lord's church, there are many confusing accounts out there. But the facts are really not that difficult to find, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, as Hebrews 13:8 says. So beginning in the days of the apostles, we can easily identify autonomous congregations of the Church of Christ being established. You look in passages like Acts chapter 8 through chapter 28 or Romans 16:16, which were each led by a plurality of elders, as we see in Acts 14:23 and 1 Peter 5:1. But even then, some were already exiting the faith and starting their own churches, as we see in 3 John 9 or Revelation 2 verse 6 or even 1 Corinthians 1:10. And this explains why at the beginning of the second century, apologists such as Irenaeus and Origen wrote about a new practice that had emerged of a singular elder beginning to exert more influence and control over other congregations outside of his own. Then in 325 AD, the Roman Emperor Constantine made it official by convening the Council of Nicaea, which decreed that certain bishops were given control over multiple churches, even with elderships. And that was all within their respective regions. In that decree, the Roman Catholic Church was born. Now, this one specific departure from the scriptural model of the church and its leadership can be pointed to as what would eventually result in an avalanche of denominationalism to come many years later. It was during a period known as the Dark Ages, which lasted from about 500 to 1500 AD, that the last of the Roman Empire disintegrated and the Holy Roman Empire emerged in power and importance. Pope Leo I became the first church leader to use the name Pontifex Maximus. That's a Latin phrase for supreme priest. However, several historians generally consider Gregory I to be the actual first pope because of a decree that he wrote stating that Peter was the first pope in Rome. Now, according to him, all authority for the church must reside in Rome. And using that ideology, Gregory's successor, Boniface III, later appointed himself as the supreme leader of the church in 606 AD. And that act essentially made him the first official pope of the Roman Catholic Church. It was also during the Dark Ages that many unbiblical practices emerged, such as adding musical instruments to worship, doctrines like purgatory and transubstantiation, indulgences, and so forth, and a major division developed in the Catholic Church concerning whether the headquarters resided in Rome or in Constantinople. Fortunately, this period also produced the first English translation of the Bible by John Wycliffe and the invention of the printing press by Johannes Gutenberg. It made the Bible accessible to ordinary people for the first time in history. And such accessibility later prompted people like Martin Luther to nail his 95 Theses to the door of the Catholic Church in Wittenberg in 1517, which ignited a movement that became known as the Reformation. As more people began studying the Bible on their own, people like John Calvin and John Knox, Ulrich Zwingli, Jan Hus and Philip Melanchthon, and Conrad Grebel, the number of leaders increased who rejected Catholic doctrine. The name Protestant appeared as people protested and resisted in those imperial edicts, which precipitated many to leave that church and start new ones. The Roman Catholic Church responded with the Council of Trent, where they rejected the accusations against them and then affirmed their own doctrine through the Catholic Catechism of 1566. Now, what followed was a bloody Inquisition and religious wars erupting, resulting in thousands of people losing their lives over the next several decades. The fighting finally subsided with the Peace of Westphalia signed in 1648. So, after so much conflict, many religious groups began seeking freedom to practice their faith. They migrated to the New World in hopes of finding peace. And sadly, among those groups who arrived in the American colonies, well, more division emerged as they attempted to follow their own interpretation of Scripture. So each developed its own creed or its own doctrine and its own hierarchy of leadership. And this practice has continued until the result is more than 40,000 different religious organizations today. So in that context, America became fertile soil for the Restoration Movement. It was a crusade, if you will, of rejecting man-made creeds and doctrines of those religious institutions and returning to the Bible. Now, in the next lesson, we will continue to look at the history of the church.